Well, good morning again. It's good to see everybody again. We are in the midst of preparing for a great spiritual growth campaign, Deep in the Heart, as you heard about earlier. And this week, Tim spent literally all week filming the videos for that, for our studies. And so this morning, I'm here to share with you and to continue in the series that we've been looking at entitled Simple Acts. And we've talked about a variety of ways that we can just do simple things to make a difference in our world, to make a difference in the hearts and lives of people around us. We've talked about simple acts of kindness and simple acts of thankfulness and simple acts of forgiveness. And this morning we're talking about simple acts of service. You know, I think sometimes we get into a mode where we think, well, there are certain things that happen within the body of Christ that I could just never do. Certain means of service that I could never participate in. And sometimes that keeps us from serving at all. And what I want you to do this morning is I want you to realize that each and every person in here can do simple acts of service. As we saw the tsunami video and as we looked at that again this week, I just pulled a list of all the people who have been on one of the four trips. Listen to the kinds of people who have been on these trips. Students, high school students, college students, receptionist, an insurance adjuster. That's a pretty good place for an insurance adjuster. Teachers, a software engineer, a software trainer, a doctor, a ministry worker, nurse, missionary. Imagine that, missionary, going on a trip like that. A project manager, administrative assistant, TV producer, operations manager, a young wife, more college kids. Somebody who works as a troubleshooter in customer care. Troubleshooter, customer care. Trying to think, you know, they're not shooting their customers there. Family care person at a hospital. A widow with young children. And one of her children going with her. All kinds of people. Performing all kinds of service. If you've never been on a mission trip, especially one outside of the country, one of the things you discover is that all of your plans in preparation for that trip need to be held really loosely. Because, one, you're not, even though there's an itinerary, it's not positive when you're going to get there. And once you do get there, you can't be absolutely certain that what you've prepared for is actually what you're going to be doing. Different opportunities arise. Think plans that were in place when you got on the plane at Austin Airport have changed by the time you get halfway around the world. Well, what's needed is a servant's heart. A desire to do anything. A desire to do it anywhere that God opens the door and that God leads. And so this morning as we think about service, I want to give you a definition for service that we can run with this morning and that you can take and apply to your life. Service defined: doing what I can with what I have for the good of others and the spread of the gospel. Doing what I can with what I have for the good of others and the spread of the gospel. Every one of us in here can apply that definition of service to our life. We can all do something with what we have for someone else. And what separates our service from all the well-meaning organizations in the world that do it outside of the name of Jesus Christ is that we do it in His name. We do it with His love, as a reflection of His love, for the spread of the gospel throughout the world. And all you have to do is read through the Gospels and see that that's what Jesus did. Wherever He went, He served people. And indeed, He met their physical needs. He met their felt needs. He met the longing of their heart. But He met the deeper longing of their hearts as well. showing them the way to life in Christ. And that completes our service. Many times that's the only thing that motivates our service, is knowing that what we're doing has the potential to make a difference in the life of one person. Or maybe in the life of a whole group of people, 30,000 Mocan Sea Gypsies who had never even heard the name of Jesus. And now they're hearing. And now they're responding. And some of them, like the little man that you saw in that video, saying thank you to God for the disaster that happened, because it opened the door for him to learn about Jesus. Simple acts of service that make a huge impact. Well, over in Romans chapter 16, Paul, as he closes the letter to the Romans, begins to list off a number of people who have been involved in simple acts of service. People for whom he was giving thanks for all kinds of things. Sometimes just for having the relationship that he had with them. But for many, specific acts of service or attitudes toward service that Paul wanted to praise. Look with me in Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all of the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. And on Paul goes in this passage, giving greetings and giving praise and expressing his thankfulness to God for these people who had served the body of Christ and through that served Jesus Christ himself and Paul in special ways. And we see this service demonstrated in four ways that I want to highlight for you quickly this morning. The first is that service is demonstrated by getting your hands and feet moving. Service is demonstrated by getting your hands and your feet moving. Now, Paul describes Phoebe as a person who was a servant of the church. And there's a couple of words that are used for servants, for servant in the New Testament. One has a connotation really of being a slave. It is more of a position of a servant. But the other has to do with the activity of service. And that's the word that Paul uses here when he describes Phoebe as somebody who was actively involved in ministry in her church. Most probably a ministry leader in the church that Paul references here. The word that he used for servant here is not so much about a position, but it's about being active. It's about doing something. And many times we'll pacify ourselves and say, well, I'm willing to serve. But you're not a servant until you serve. And that's the point that Paul was making here. He said, not only has she been a help to me, but she's been a great help to many other people as well. She was living out her heart for service. And the word for help means that she would come alongside of people, stand with them to meet whatever needs she could in their life. And that's the very basics of what service is all about. Doing what I can with what I have to serve other people and to spread the gospel. That's the kind of person that she was. One pastor surveyed his congregation. And one of the things that he was interested in finding out was what impact did serving in ministry have on their spiritual growth. Now, you might think at first, well, those two things are somewhat maybe unrelated. I don't think that necessarily service would impact my spiritual growth. But here's what he found out. 58% of the people who were not serving were either dissatisfied or greatly dissatisfied with their own spiritual growth. 58% of those not serving. Dissatisfied or deeply dissatisfied with their own spiritual growth. On the other hand, 92% of the people who were serving in a regular ministry were very positively satisfied with their spiritual growth. Why is that? Because when we give, when we invest, when we pour our lives into other people and other things for the cause of Christ, God fills our heart with joy. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord, that's our strength. And we, as we went through the series on Nehemiah, we saw that these people were working, these people were serving, but they had joy in that service because of the purpose of it. And that's how they lived out their life. I got an email from a fellow this week who's involved in our UT church plant and the process of getting that whole thing off the ground. Listen to some of these words that he shares. He says, I've recently been encouraged and challenged not to lose the joy in the journey. This has been a really busy month for all of us, and so staying focused on the magnitude of what's happening has been hard. I'm encouraged to see the teams at work. It's amazing to see how God is bringing all of these different people together for this common goal. In the last two meetings especially, you could feel the excitement in the air. And God is continuing to remind me that He is big enough. He can handle it. It's one thing to read about it and to pontificate about it, but it really resets your mind and your heart when you see it. I am blown away every time I take the time to think of His faithfulness, provision, direction, protection, and overall sovereignty in this launch process. God has been an answer for us in so many ways. I feel like He is saying to me, you didn't get the building you wanted. Well, here's the building that I want you to have for now, and it's cheaper. You worried about distance from the campus. I will give you access to a shuttle. You're worried about not having enough people to start the church. I will give you more than what you could imagine. You're worried about money. I will exceed your expectations. You're worried about office space. I will put you where I need you to be. You're worried about your lack of abilities. I will be with you every step. Send people to help and open doors that you never considered. It's overwhelming at this moment to think about this God that we serve. Just a person offering his abilities to help plant a church, offering himself to serve, and look at all that God is doing in his own life. I mean, the significance of what is happening, the event itself, the movement itself, the planting of a church itself, that's significant. But what's as significant is the work that God does in our hearts as we serve. It's not just about you doing something in ministry for God. It's about what God is doing in you because you're involved in ministry. God uses ministry to grow us when we begin to take the steps to serve. Well, Paul continues on and he talks about Priscilla and Aquila as being fellow workers in Christ. Now, Paul and Priscilla and Aquila had also worked together in the tent making industry. He doesn't really bring that up here, because what really bonded their hearts together was their service in Christ. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, he says in verse 3. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And here's what he says about them. They risk their lives for me. Literally, that passage means that they laid down their necks. They laid down their necks for Paul. He said, they risked their lives for me. Service is demonstrated when we're willing to stick our necks out. To do something that's a little risky, maybe. To do something that's outside of our comfort zone. So many times, that's when God grows us. That's when God stretches us out. That's when God does a new work in our hearts to mold us and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. Because we're willing, by faith in Him and love for people, to step out and do something that's uncomfortable. Maybe we'll be misunderstood. Maybe we'll be rejected. Maybe our service won't be appreciated. Maybe a part of our service is in the lives of people. And what we need to do and how those people really need help may not be well received. There are places all over the world where people's service to Jesus Christ is a daily laying down their necks in service of other people for the advance of the gospel. Sometimes our service requires sacrifice, and service is maybe no more demonstrated than when we're willing to stick out our necks, to take a risk for someone else's good and for the sake of the gospel. When I think about that, now think about what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. He said, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." A whole different perspective by which to live our lives. A demonstration, an evidence of a servant's heart to be willing to stick our neck out. Then there's a third principle here that helps us to demonstrate service. And that is, we do that by maximizing our influence. By maximizing our influence. One of the ways that Priscilla and Aquila in verse 5 were able to maximize their influence was they had a home. And apparently they had a home that was large enough to have a lot of people over. And so taking what God had entrusted to them, they opened their home and they actually had a church that met in their home. I don't know how many people met in there. I don't know how big their home was. It really doesn't matter. What matters is they had something that God had given them and they used it to serve other people. And we think about our upcoming spiritual growth campaign, Deep in the Heart. One of the things we're praying for is 400 host homes. And you think, well, I couldn't use my place. Why not? Why not? Well, it's not big enough. How big does it have to be? Big enough for you. Probably big enough to have one other person, at least. Using what you have. Maximizing the influence, given what God has entrusted to you. Maximizing its usefulness for the good of other people who need a home to meet in. And for the advancement of the gospel throughout the greater Austin area. And that's one of the things that Priscilla and Aquila did. Also, if you look down in verse 23, we see it toward the end of this letter that Paul is praising Gaius for his hospitality. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. And then he talks about a gentleman named Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus send you their greetings. Here's a guy that was known for his hospitality. Whatever God had entrusted to him, he was able to share it. And then here's another fellow who had a position of influence. He was the director of public works in the city. Basically, what that means is he was the city administrator. God had placed him in a position of power. And in that position of power, it was well known that he was a believer in Jesus Christ. Listen, God has placed each and every one of us in a position of influence over someone. God has given us possessions and placed us in positions where we can make a difference, where our service can explode, where it can be maximized for God's purpose, and He desires that we do that. And then number four, service is demonstrated by letting go of your pride. By letting go of your pride. Not everybody serves for the right motives. Not everybody serves with a pure heart. And not everybody does that all the time, even though sometimes they may. Look in verse 17. Paul says, "I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites." Paul's pointing here too is self-service. This is about me being served. This is about me being exalted. This is about me having my feelings, my needs met, serving for my own appetites, not serving Christ. And I think it's important for us from time to time to stop and ask ourselves the question, why am I doing this? Am I doing this for me? Is this a look at me kind of service? Or is this a self-sacrificing service? Is God calling me to take my next step spiritually in the area of service by serving with a pure heart, serving for the right reasons? Now listen, here's what doesn't happen. You don't stop serving until your heart gets right. You start serving in the right ways and God changes your heart. And service gets demonstrated when we put our pride on the shelf. We say, God, mold me and shape me. Give me your heart for people. For the praises of man, I will never, ever stand. For the kingdoms of this world, I'm not going to give my heart to that. But give my heart in service to God. Do away with my pride. It's a great testimony that came out of a camp last week that our ministry in East Austin held for 47 children. Who were able to go to the HEB camp in the Hill Country free of charge. And we had several counselors here from the church that went. And one of the interns that's serving at the Real Life Center this summer had this experience. On the way back on the bus, says one of the first grade girls was asleep on her lap in the bus on the way home from the camp. When the intern felt something trickling down her leg, she knew that the girl had had an accident all over her. Not only did she not get mad, but she helped the girl clean herself up, had a good sense of humor about it the whole time, and even at the end of long 4 days of camp. And Saul Scaff, one of the workers down there at the Real Life Center, says, this was a great example of long-suffering, forgiveness, and love in action. This teenage girl has a servant's heart. I'm sure it could have been pretty embarrassing for her, but she put her pride aside and she thought about the person. She thought about, how can I serve this first grade girl? How can I help her through this crisis time in her life? And apparently never even thought about it as a crisis time in her own. She put away her pride. How do you develop that kind of heart? How do you apply service to your everyday life? Well, three things that I want to suggest for you. First of all, decide to do something simple every day. Decide to do something simple every day. Ask yourself the question, where has God placed me? How has God blessed me? And what can I do about that? Just something simple every day. It doesn't have to be big. Start at your house. Think about all the different things, all the different responsibilities that people have in your home. And begin to serve. Do something simple this afternoon. You know, it may be, men, that you just need to get the stuff off the chair. All the ladies are laughing, so I know that you men know what I'm talking about. Okay? Hey, it may be, you know, a lot of our students are around the world serving, so just a few of you that might be here this morning, it might be that you see things that your parents do week in and week out on your behalf, and you decide that today you're going to step in and do that instead. All kinds of ways to serve right there where you live. Sometimes the hardest place to serve. It might be at work, though. It might be in your neighborhood. But just commit. Just decide. Every day, I'm going to do a simple act of service. Then second, determine to do something specific every week. Determine to do something specific every week. Now we're talking about an ongoing ministry. Now we're talking about something that you can do on a regular basis where God has gifted you, where God has given you abilities, where God has given you experiences, where you can serve with great impact the body of Christ and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. What could you do on an ongoing basis every week to be of service to the body of Christ and to promote the advancement of the gospel? You know, each week in your eternal perspective, there are opportunities for service listed. There are a number of them in there this morning. I would encourage you, if you don't have a place to serve every week, look over that, pray over that, look and ask yourself, hey, you know what, I might could do that, or I'm interested in finding out more about that. But take opportunities to discover what it is you could do to serve every week, a specific act of service, a place that you would be responsible to be a servant. And as you do those things, simple acts of service each day all around you, specific acts of service, committed to service in a variety of ministry opportunities around here, God begins to develop in you through that service a servant's heart. God begins to develop in you through your commitment to serve the life change that I read about in that email just earlier. Because it's not just about you doing something for God in ministry. It's about also about God doing something in you because you're involved in ministry. What if you fall into that camp where you say, you know what, I really have a hard time. If I'm honest with myself this morning, I have a hard time serving with pure motives. Really, most of the time I serve just hoping that somebody will recognize me. Just hoping that I'll get some benefit from it. I go and volunteer here or I do this because it makes me look good. It enables me to put down that I'm a volunteer at work. And that makes me look good. What if you have a problem with the wrong heart motive in service? You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." But he also knew that sometimes we struggled with that. That sometimes we let our light shine so people would see our light and not see our Father in heaven. That really didn't matter that much to us. And so beginning in chapter 6, he says, look, if you've got a problem with motives, then I have a solution for you. And the solution is secrecy. Step 3, develop a servant's heart through the spiritual discipline of secrecy. Develop a servant's heart through the spiritual discipline of secrecy. So what are you talking about? Talking about doing the simple things and doing it in such a way that nobody ever finds out about it. Jesus gave 3 examples. He said, if you have a problem with giving out of pride, then give so nobody knows what you're giving. If you have a problem with praying, whenever you pray, you're more interested in people hearing your prayer because based on some of the prayers you've heard, you think you pray pretty cool. Jesus said, then you just need to find a room by yourself and just pray there. And then he gave the illustration of fasting. He said, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces, you know, to make it obvious, he says, to men that they're fasting. But you comb your hair, wash your face, don't look any different. And after all of those, he says, and your Father who is in heaven, who sees what you do, even though it's unseen by others, will reward you. And in this case, what kind of reward are you looking for? You're looking for a servant's heart. God, change me from the inside out. And so what would it look like this week if you gave away something to meet somebody's needs, money or some other material possession, but you gave something to meet somebody's need in a way that nobody would know that you gave it? What would that look like? That's serving through the spiritual discipline of secrecy. What would it look like if you had such a burden for someone that you began to pray constantly, daily for that person? You poured yourself into praying for them, but you never mentioned it. Never said anything about it. You never made any big deal about it. just in secret, you pray. What would it look like? Jesus uses the example of fasting. What would it look like for you to do without something? Even though everyone else was doing it, even though everyone else was getting praise for what they were doing, what would it look like for you just to abstain from situations that would bring glory and praise to you? Someone's telling a story about something they did. What if you just kept your mouth shut? Thought, well, I got another story. I got a story I could tell. What if you just abstained from telling your story? Simple acts of service that cultivate in us the heart of a servant. Each of us can do any of these things every day, taking what we have, who we are, and using it to serve other people for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're reminded this morning that Jesus said that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Lord, we're here today because of Jesus' unselfish service to us. Lord, help us be light in a dark place. Help us be the salt of the earth. Help us to serve from a servant's heart for other people's sake and for the advancement of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.